to the Thunderdome. Are you ready? Hey, what's going on? It's Wednesday, October 30th. I'm Jeff. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Got a quick one for you here. Honestly, I'm not going to cover all the details of Stephon Diggs, of Deontay Johnson, of Anthony Richardson, because I actually covered those yesterday on the Rant podcast feed. That's my solo podcast that I do just by myself. This one, obviously, we have Mike Randall doing the late Sunday night show, so you get that on Monday mornings. But head over there. I did an emergency podcast. It's 7 minutes long. It covers all angles, including, yes, Zay Flowers, because you want to trade him away, and I think big mistake. Not the move I would be making there. So cover all that for you over there. So make sure you're subscribed to The Rant with me, Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, so I did want to talk a little bit more, though, about the Joe Flacco stuff on the podcast today, get you kind of up to speed on where he is for this week, and then what we can kind of use to view him as going forward. So he will be the team starter. This is not a one-week. This isn't even the Andy Dalton thing. Like, the Andy Dalton thing we got, he's stepping in because we think he gives us a better shot at winning right now. That is not what's happening with Flacco. And honestly, I don't think Andy Dalton will be the starter again this season. I think it's in Carolina's best interest, given their record, given their situation, that they just go out and figure out if Bryce actually can be something for them. I don't think he can be, but I have been proven wrong. I didn't think Baker Mayfield was going to be able to revive his career. I didn't see Geno Smith being a starter this late into his career. Both of those guys have done so. So I don't want to just write the book. But Indianapolis is in a different situation, right? Carolina is a one-win team. They are almost certainly going to be picking in the top five, and they very well could pick first overall. And unlike last year, they didn't trade this one away. So they need to figure out, is this dude the future, or do we need to draft the next dude? Do we draft Cam Ward or, I don't know, Shador? I'm not in love with Shador Sanders, but I get it at least. He is going to be, at the very least, a guy who's probably going to get a shot at being a starter, and then he'll have to take it from there. But regardless, I digress. Over to the Colts. The Colts are 4-4. They are not 1-7. They're 4-4. Right now, your playoff picture in the AFC, the Bills are steamrolling. Basically, did they already clinch? I kid, but they're 6-2, and then there's no other team in the AFC East who has more than two wins. Then you have the Steelers at 6-2, you have the Texans at 6-2, and you have the Chiefs at 7-0 as your division leaders. The Baltimore Ravens are 5-3 and obviously are a playoff team. The Denver Broncos are 5-3 and kind of look like a playoff team all of a sudden. Now, granted, a wild card team, but they're not bad. Then you have the Chargers at 4-3 and the Colts at 4-4. The Colts have a very legitimate chance of being a playoff team. Do they have every single piece to make a playoff run? No, I don't think so, but they do have the capability of making the postseason. Like, this is a very different situation than over in the NFC. You do have separation here. Like, you have, let's see, how many teams with two or fewer? You have three in the AFC East. You have one in the AFC North, two in the AFC South, and then another one in the AFC West. As far as the NFC is concerned, not like that at all. In fact, there are just three teams, the Giants, the Saints, and the Panthers, who only have two or fewer wins. So totally different situation. And yeah, I think this move makes a lot of sense. Now, for Richardson, it's a huge indictment. It's a huge, however you say it. And to make matters worse in this situation, apparently Anthony Richardson told the media that Shane Steichen didn't tell him about this, like, or not tell him, but didn't explain it. Basically, that's it, and that's it. Not, hey, we're making this move, and you are, we're going to work on things, whatever that is. It's kind of baffling. Now, is this Steichen still inexperienced as a head coach? He's still relatively new to being a head coach, right? And doesn't necessarily have the bedside manner of some other more well-established head coaches. It could be. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I do know that he was the fourth overall pick. I do know that as of right now, the 2023 quarterback class, except for CJ Stroud, will possibly go down as one of the most overvalued in NFL history. It really is not good as of right now. Bryce is part of it. Will Levis was part of it. I'm not going to fault like Hendon Hooker, but, and then after that, all the guys who went, there's nothing to write home about. So Richardson in redraft, yeah, drop him. Superflex, drop him. The only way he gets back in there, obviously, is if Flacco gets hurt. I even think Flacco's going to throw interceptions, but I don't think there's any pathway back. In Dynasty, oh boy, what do we do here? Well, if it's one quarterback, I think you could probably consider dropping him, which is crazy. If you don't want to do it, if you want to see what happens heading into next year, fine. But man, oh man, if it's super flex dynasty, I do think I hold on to him. I'm kind of notorious for holding on to guys in these types of situations just in case. You never quite know what's going to happen. Like I just, the problem that I'm running into is sort of twofold. The first problem is obviously the accuracy issues. Like he is one of the least accurate starting quarterbacks that we've seen in the modern era of football. And that is even including Tim Tebow, less accurate than him. That is bad. It is really difficult to improve accuracy at the pro level. That is something that needs to get polished up at the college level or even earlier than that. There are exceptions to the rule. I would say, you know, Josh Allen wasn't necessarily the most accurate coming into the league. He wasn't that accurate from a completion percentage standpoint at the college level, but boy, has he improved in that area. Like Josh Allen in a lot of ways is the exception. Like he's the poster child of this is what happens when you hit on the guy, but you don't always hit on the guy. So that is a huge, huge indictment. The other one, and I did this rant on my radio show, I was utterly flabbergasted that a dude at quarterback in the National Football League would take himself out of a game because he was tired. Maybe that's where Steichen reached his breaking point. I don't know. I'm curious of the interaction between Steichen and Chris Ballard, the general manager, between those guys and Jim Irsay. Because a lot of times you may have three perspectives. Ownership wants one thing. General manager wants another. Head coach wants a third thing. Like that can happen. Sometimes you'll have ownership and general manager aligned and then head coach not aligned. I think that was really what happened to Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. Other times you may actually have head coach and general manager aligned and not with ownership. A lot of moving pieces here. But short story, Joe Flacco, QB2. Now, if he hits his ceiling from like last year, which there is a possibility, I don't want to rule that out. I don't expect 300-yard games every single game. Now watch, he goes and does that. But yes, he could end up being in the quarterback one conversation. There's one major thing holding him out of that for me. It's he does not have mobility at all. Like, yes, he had his one run this season where I was like, whoa, that's Joe Flacco. But he doesn't have mobility. Like, that's going to be few and far between, and that's fine. So he will need to have 275 plus and two or more passing touchdowns every week to sustain that. And that's just not necessarily feasible. So I think quarterback two, he looks like a streamer this week. He is not my favorite streamer this week, but if he's yours, go for it. But yeah, super flex if you grabbed him, like he's a 25 to 50% guy. He's going to be the starter the rest of the way in a pretty potent offense. Don't let Anthony Richardson fool you. So a lot of weird things there, but this is where we are. A couple injury updates. So Jaden Daniels was limited in practice, which is good. I fully expect him to play and actually expect him to be better than he was last week. They did try to cover him up a little bit last week. You could tell in a variety of ways. He still ran. He still had 50 plus rushing yards. I mean, and then obviously the Hail Mary helped everything out. But all said and done, I would expect more of him this week. Amari Cooper not practicing today with a wrist issue. I don't think it's a major deal. It's something to keep an eye on. I find that people freak out way too much over Wednesday practice reports. Like, doesn't really tell us much. Let's see what happens with Cooper by Friday. And if he doesn't play, he doesn't play. You know, big deal. Not the end of the world. The secret to fantasy football, don't freak out, you know, and that's it. It's plain and simple. Let's see what else today. Yes, Drake May. So Drake May in concussion protocol was not seen at the start of practice. That's not a surprise. A DNP on Wednesday is almost par for the course. It's actually rare to see a limited practice when the player first enters protocol because there are three steps, and really there's two main steps to get through in that DNP day. And so he could still be working his way through those steps. The key is tomorrow. The fourth step is the most important step. If you get to a limited and non-contact practice, which is a limited practice by definition, then we're off to the races. If he goes DNP tomorrow and he's still in the second or third step of the protocol, okay, well, then we know our answer. It's very unlikely for him to play. That same thing will apply to Tyrone Tracy. So Tyrone Tracy is in protocol. He has one fewer day than Drake May, so that will create some challenges there. I don't think it means that Tracy won't play, but it's always safe to assume that, you know, maybe he is on the wrong side of questionable. So if you have Tracy, have another plan in place. Is that plan Devin Singletary? Maybe. I mean, I don't want to roster both of those dudes, I'll be honest with you, and I've been saying that all along. I view Singletary this week as a flex option. Like, that's about as good as we can get on that, and that's really it. Not overly excited there. If Tracy plays, then obviously he's more of an RB2, so that is important. I also wanted to update on, I have Jordan Love, too, by the way, not practicing today. That one's going to be kind of up against it. Here's my sense. If we do get to limited by tomorrow or Friday, I do think he plays. If he does not practice at all through the three practices this week, I think the team will tell us, oh, he could still play without practicing, but he'd be on the wrong side of questionable. That would be that. Oh, there is an update on Tyrone Tracy. So Brian Daboll said he's in the early stages of concussion protocol. That it really doesn't tell us much, to be honest with you, because the early stage could be the second step. If it's the first step, then yeah, he's almost certainly not going to play this week, but we don't know. Again, tomorrow is going to be the key. I would not read too much into that news blurb if you see it on Roto World or wherever you get your football news. Anyway, I was saying I wanted to get into this Jameson Williams story. So if you haven't seen this story, it is kind of crazy. So on October 8th, he was the passenger in a car. His brother was driving the car. They were pulled over for speeding and nothing else, but the problem is that two guns were found in the car. One of them was registered. They're both registered guns. So one was to his brother. The other was to him. So that part is fine. His brother does have a concealed pistol license. So his brother is fine. Jameson Williams does not have that license. So that's where some of the questions come into play. However, they were not cited. No citation, no incident, nothing. And now an investigation has been launched by the Detroit Police Department. The Lions themselves issued a statement saying Jameson made us aware immediately that he was the passenger in a routine traffic stop on October 8th. We discussed the incident with him and have kept the league informed of what we know. We understand that he was released without incident or citation, and it's now our understanding that the Detroit Police Department is revisiting the matter. Jameson has hired an attorney, and we are not commenting further out of respect for the legal process. Okay, so he broke the law. You know, he broke the law, and they didn't do anything about it. And now, obviously, the Detroit Police Department is trying to potentially rectify that. What does this mean? Well, he is currently suspended, but he is suspended for a violation of the performance-enhancing substance policy. So the league has different policies. He was also suspended previously for placing bets on team facilities, like on team property. I'm not sure that's personal conduct. So the personal conduct policy would certainly be linked to something like this. So being that he's already suspended, could he continue to be suspended? My answer to that, highly unlikely. Why? Because the NFL in legal matters will always let the legal process play out before issuing any sort of suspension or a decision on a suspension for that matter. And if you notice in the statement I read, those two words, legal process, were very prominently there at the end of the statement. So how long does the legal process take to play out? Well, this investigation will play out. And I don't know how long that will take, but I can guarantee you it's not going to conclude today. When the police department finds what they find, well, if they find, okay, no harm, no foul, we're going to move on. Maybe there's a suspension, probably more likely behind the scenes he's told, don't do that again. And maybe there isn't a suspension because, you know, again, stupid mistake. He should, if he's carrying a gun, he should have the conceal license. He should, you know, no doubt about it, but he doesn't. So anyway, if he is found to be at fault, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of legal process there. I highly doubt that concludes by the end of this season. So I don't see a suspension coming this year. But however, I will say this. He could be suspended again next year. So the third straight season where he faces some sort of suspension. Not good. But also remember, the legal process is going to play out first and foremost before anything here. All right, so those are the major news items for today. FTNFantasy.com, remember the rankings are up, updated. What a week for rankings, man. A lot of moving pieces this week, but it is very, very fun. And also keep in mind next week, the trade deadline is, well, it's rapidly approaching. It's Tuesday of next week at 4 o'clock Eastern. So I expect to have some more trades. Of course, you can follow along with the Rant podcast. I'll be covering stuff there. But likely, if anything happens like up against the wire, I'll probably end up covering it on this podcast because I'm here every single Wednesday throughout the course of this season. Follow along with me on socials. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram as well. And again, Mike Randall will be back here late Sunday night, so you can get that in your feed on Monday morning. Otherwise, you can catch me on the Rant or back here on Wednesday of next week. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and then I'm out. Thank you.